are so glad that you're here with us today.
If you're a regular attender, or if this is your first time with us, welcome to First Baptist Roswell. We are delighted that you're here with us today. Today's a special day in the life of our church, and I'll share more about that in just a moment. But if you are with us for the very first time today, or if you're a returning guest, would you fill out a visitor card for us? They're in the pew rack in front of you. And if you would, just make a note for us. Fill your name out on there and some information is prompted. We'd like just to get to know you a little better and make a record of your visit with us and know how best we can minister to you while you're here. I do have just a couple of announcements for you. If you'll flip with me in your bulletin, you'll find that little white insert in the middle of your bulletin there. Our announcements are plenty today, and I'll leave you to those to read them all, but I do want to draw your attention to one. Our annual Appalachian Outreach mission opportunity is quickly coming up in July, and if you have served before, or if you're interested in serving, this is a missions trip. We usually send a team of gentlemen all the way up to Jefferson City, Tennessee, to the Dandridge area to serve and to help rebuild home repair, light maintenance, and sometimes even build a brand new house up there. So a very meaningful time for us. If you're interested in that, would you please fill out the information here and let Wes Blaylock know. He'd love to know of your skill set and would love for you to come be a part of this today. You'll see behind me, we have our youth choir with us this morning, and on your printed order of worship, you've got this wonderful shade of Tennessee orange on the inside here. That's right. Yeah, I know it's not dog red, but it's the next best thing, right? Our youth choir is headed out this Sunday, this afternoon. They're headed out on their youth choir mission tour. A little different from choir tour, there's a missions component that they will serve all throughout the coming week. And as they go, they will be the hands and feet of Christ, not just with their voices, but with all that they have to offer. You'll see in this printed order of worship and this printed program you have here, this is what our tour concert selection looks like. And all throughout today's worship service, we'll be offering moments and pieces and bits of this concert selection that we'll share later on the road. They're off to a great week. We leave just as soon as the service gets out today. We have a quick lunch, and then we're off to Birmingham, Alabama to sing a concert this afternoon at Vestavia Hills Baptist Church. And then on to Monday, we're headed up to Nashville, Tennessee, to the Music City, where our culminating kind of part of our tour is. The students will be able to hang around Nashville and see the sights, and they'll get to visit the Country Music Hall of Fame. And while there, they will record a live version of their concert in the recording studio with some of Nashville's finest. And then after Nashville, we head over to East Tennessee, to Knoxville, where we will serve with the Knoxville Area Rescue Mission. We'll present a concert for those that come for their lunch service and for those that are in need. And then afterwards, we'll go to a local store that supplements their work and we'll sort some clothes and other used and lightly used goods that will be sold to help those in need in the Knoxville metro area. Following that Tuesday afternoon, we head Tuesday night down to a little town called Wallen, Tennessee, which is where Miss Katie Warren is from, to head and do a concert at her home church. And I know what you're thinking, why would you pick that? Well, let me tell you, I can guarantee a crowd on a Tuesday night in the middle of summer if I tell them that Katie is going to be at a church there. So we'll present a wonderful concert for that church and that sister congregation. And then Wednesday morning, we'll wake up in the beautiful Smoky Mountains in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we'll go to Dollywood before returning home. So your students are off to a wonderful week. They have been preparing for this for months and months ahead. They have been working to reshape and to reaffirm the faith that they believe through their songs and through the testimony of their hearts. And all that will be done this week will be done in the name of the one who calls us into being. I hope you'll take this week and pray for them as they go out, as they be faithful representatives of us here at First Baptist Roswell, but also faithful representatives of the God who calls them to serve. This morning, they express their faith and they offer a testimony of that. They offer you a picture of what they will get to share with all those whom they will come into contact with this week. But this morning, as we gather together, we offer that testimony and we share that with you, our home family, at our home concert this morning. So as we gather together today, come, let us worship God.
Psalm 150 instructs us to praise God with all that we are and to give thanks to Him for all the good gifts that He gives us. And this morning, on this Father's Day morning, we are especially thankful to God for the gift of fathers. And so we want to ask now, as we get ready to say our prayer of gratitude, if you are a father in this room, would you please stand this morning? You may be seated. We know that fathers are a gift from God. So would you please follow along in your order of worship as we say this responsive prayer of gratitude together. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of those who love us. And especially today, we thank you for the gift of our fathers. For those fathers who have strived to balance work, marriage, and children with joy and sacrifice. For those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a better father.
We praise you, O God, for these are our fathers.
For those fathers whose children are adopted or as stepfathers, whose love and support has offered healing, love, and respect.
We praise you.
For those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. For those men who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides.
We praise you, O God, for these are fathers.
For those men who are about to become fathers, may they openly delight in their children. For those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their hearts.
We praise you, O God, for these are fathers.
For those fathers who have died but live on in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us.
We praise you, O God, for these are fathers.
Beyond the gift of our earthly fathers here, we give you thanks, O God, for the father-like love you extend to each of us, for the ways you strengthen and endear to us the fathers we have, and heal us from and reconcile the fathers we don't, for the father who loves us, cares for us, and calls each of us by our own names.
We praise you, O God, for you, our Father. Amen.
Thank you. Oh no, I'm stuck.
Are you all right?
Does it look like I'm all right?
Well, no. Can I help you?
No, thank you. I need to do this by myself.
It might be simpler if I just called someone. Because you look stuck.
Stuck? Now there's a brand deduction. I bet your IQ's like way off the chart.
I'm gonna ignore that remark since you're having a bad day.
A bad day? More like a bad decade. Why does this always happen to me?
Not to belabor the point, but what exactly has happened to you?
What exactly hasn't happened to me? Now, would you please leave me alone? I like to be by myself when I'm in pain.
Pain? Oh, would you like some Tylenol?
Tylenol? We're talking big time pain. How do I get myself in this situation?
I'm sorry, but I can't answer that. But I would like to help you.
I don't want any help, okay? Just leave me alone.
On the contrary, you do want my help.
Actually, I don't want your help. Oh, my foot!
You see? You need help.
No, thank you. I need to do this on my own.
You know, I'm gonna stay right here until you admit you need help.
Oh, heaven help me.
See, there it is, right there.
There is what?
The call for help.
All right, I admit it, I need help.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. Let me ask you something.
Yes?
Do you always annoy strangers?
No, I usually wait until they know me a bit better. Now, let's look at your situation. You are stuck.
I'm stuck, all right.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, am I correct?
Wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Didn't I just say that?
What? No.
You know, you might not have found yourself in this situation if you had listened a bit better.
I listened just fine.
Maybe you're listening to the wrong crowd.
Get off my case. I'm my own person. I was doing just fine in my life and make one wrong step, and then I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
That's all it takes, you know. One wrong step. Lives are changed in seconds. One decision, one wrong move.
Do you want to know how I got here?
No, because I don't have to know. It could be a million things. You just stepped where you shouldn't have. Christians should follow in his footsteps.
How did you know I was a Christian?
It's obvious, isn't it? You got to thinking you could do it all on your own.
I usually can do it all on my own. Usually.
Usually. Right. Now you need emergency help.
Yeah, too bad there isn't a 911 call for the spiritually inept.
Oh, but there is.
There is.
Yeah. 1-800-JESUS.
You're kidding me.
Life's a lot more simple than people make it. You have your own personal prepaid calling card. Use it the next time you get stuck. Remember, 1-800-JESUS.
Hey, who are you?
It doesn't matter who I am.
No, come on, what should I call you?
Oh, don't call me. Remember, you need to call home. Call your father. He hasn't heard from you in a long time. Oh, and by the way, next time you get stuck, remember to concentrate a little more on the rock.
At the Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of gratitude today. Thank you for this youth choir. Watch over them as they travel. Bless them and keep them safe. We are grateful for this church, its wonderful staff, and the people who fill the walls to learn more about you. We are grateful for the seeds that were planted in the hearts of our children during Vacation Bible School. May these seeds flourish and grow. We are grateful today for our families, our fathers, fathers-in-law, grandfathers, and for those who stand in the gap while fathers are away serving in other locations in the military. It's with this heartfelt gratitude we say thank you, Lord, and return a portion of our gifts to you. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 12. Hear these words. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jessica, and thank you to our wonderful youth choir. I know many people are going to be blessed by this group behind me as they travel this week and as they represent not only us, but our Lord and our Savior. We're excited for all that they will do. As we hear the word that we have read from 1 Chronicles, we follow that this morning as we continue our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're continuing to think about being God's person, and this morning we're thinking about becoming a carefree person. So I invite you to hear these words from Jesus as he continues to teach his disciples about the importance of the life of faith. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. When I was in college, one of my philosophy professors began the very first day of class, the first day of the semester, by giving us the following assignment. He said, "I want you to write your philosophy of life in one paragraph. In one paragraph, I want you to state, what is your life all about? What is your purpose in life? What is most important to you?" This morning, after listening to these words from Jesus, I am reminded of those questions. And I would ask you to think with me this morning about what is most meaningful to you? What do you live for? What is most important? These are significant questions. They're not necessarily questions we think about on a daily or weekly, maybe even monthly basis, but sometimes when a crisis, or sometimes when a tragedy, or sometimes when a difficult patch in life comes our way, that's when maybe we begin to think about these kinds of questions. It's clear as we listen to Jesus this morning that our lives need to have a goal. Our lives need to have a purpose to give us a sense of direction. Our lives need to have an overriding priority to help us make decisions on a daily basis. Otherwise, we tend to feel empty or meaningless without a purpose. Life can feel haphazard. It can feel chaotic. One person has said, the real tragedy today is that many people have so much to live with, but very little to live for in their lives. Maybe that's true. In our world today, we have so many things. But what do we do with all these things? What meaning do these things add to our lives? Many people today get up in the morning and they just try to do whatever they can just to make it through another day, just trying to survive. There is, one person has said, a tragedy of aimless, purposeless living in our world today. Just get through the next 24 hours. Just make it through the next couple of days. Just survive the week to get to the weekend. What kind of life is that? Jesus teaches that our life needs to have a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, a sense of direction, something that motivates us as we venture in life. So, what is life's main business? What is that overriding priority that I referred to earlier? Well, Jesus says very clearly what it is in our text for this morning. As he continues teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says very clearly, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else you want in life will be added to you. Jesus teaches that God's kingdom, God's righteousness, these are to be the main priorities of life. When we seek God's kingdom, when we seek God's righteousness, when these things become the overriding priorities of our lives, then everything else we need or want in life begins to coalesce around this one central main purpose. So this morning, I invite you for the next few minutes just to think with me about what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? To begin with, Jesus is very clear. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, we need to do away with something in our lives. Worry. If we are to seek the kingdom of God, then we need to think about what are the things that we worry about in life and do whatever we can to hand those things over to God. If we are to seek God's kingdom, worry is only a distraction. Now, we hear that and we may say, yeah, right, well, don't worry. That's one of those things we always say, but we don't really do. But Jesus is clear. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about the things that you so often have preoccupying your mind. In summary, Jesus says, look at your life. And in general, you probably worry about many things, but maybe three kinds of categories come to mind. You worry about your food. You worry about your health. You worry about your clothes. In other words, your life revolves around things. You generally tend to worry about things, Jesus says. If you want to seek the kingdom of God, change your focus, Jesus says. Don't make the things of life the preoccupying focus of your mind. Jesus continues, he says, consider the birds of the air. They don't worry, but God takes care of them. Think about the flowers of the field. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow, but the creator of the universe cares for them. God is involved in our lives. God is involved in the things of our world. God is involved in the things that preoccupy us. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying if God is involved in life to the point where God takes care of the birds and God takes care of the flowers that are in the field, then how much more will God care for you and for me? Every time you see the birds of the air around you, every time you see the flowers of the field, be mindful. God loves you. God cares about you. God is actively involved in your life. And if that is the case, Jesus says, then really, what is there to worry about? Jesus knew his followers well. He knows us well. We all worry. We all find ourselves worrying about so many things in life. But Jesus says, when you think about the creator of the universe taking care of you, even in ways that far exceed how he cares for the birds and the flowers of the field, then what is there really to worry about? See, that was the message from what we read in 1 Chronicles earlier. The message is everything we see and everything we know is in the hands of God. This entire creation is cared for and loved for by God. And God is actively involved in all the good that is taking place in this world and everything that is happening. And if that is the case, Jesus says, God will take care of you. If that is the case, don't worry. It's a convincing argument from Jesus. But the good news is he doesn't even stop there. That would be enough to say, don't worry. God cares for the universe. He cares for you. But he doesn't even stop there. He goes on to make another very salient point, and that is, if you do worry, think about it, Jesus says. How does that worry help you? If you find yourself worrying, just pause and think, what good is this worry doing for my life? Jesus says, can any of us add 1 hour to our life by worrying? Extrapolate on that. Can we add anything to our life by worrying? If we tend to worry, if we preoccupy our mind with these concerns, what will the good be that comes from our worry? Jesus says, realize this, worry is emptiness. Worry is fruitless. I read this week, one person said, I have never seen a gravestone that reads, this person died of worry. But he goes on to say this, but some of them ought to read that way. How many illnesses are directly connected to our worries, to our anxieties, to trying to take the responsibility of what is designed for God into our own hands? He says, if you can't handle it, then why are you trying to handle it? If you can't change it, then why are you trying to change it? Worry accomplishes absolutely nothing. Corrie ten Boom once said on one occasion, she said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. That's powerful. Worry does not change the sorrows of tomorrow, it saps the energy and the strength of today. The only thing worry accomplishes in any of our lives is simply wasting the valuable gift of life God has given us. Jesus said, if you want to seek the kingdom of God, work on removing worry from your life. He goes on and he says, realize this as well. Realize that most of the things you worry about are not the things of heaven. They are things of the earth. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, you are a child of God, and because you are a child of God, you are not like other people who do not know God. Their focus is not the same as yours. You do not need to seek the same things they seek. You do not need to worry about the same things they worry about, for your focus is different. It's almost as if Jesus was saying to us, look at the rest of the world. They need to worry because their focus is on the wrong things, Jesus is implying. But you are not seeking the same things they are seeking. These things are not as important to you. Don't worry about the same things the world focuses on because that is not your focus. It is not your priority. Jesus says, God knows what you need. God knows what is happening in your life. So we believe in God, Jesus says. We believe that God not only has the power to create this universe and the power to redeem it through Jesus Christ, but also has the knowledge about what we need in this world. Your focus is different from those who do not know God. Jesus also reminds us that life is so much more important than what we eat or the things we have or the clothes that we wear. As Jesus said these words, I can almost hear him saying, your life is in God's hands. Each day you live a life that God has given to you. So isn't it enough? Isn't it enough every day to say, this is God's day. I am alive this day because of the grace of God. What a wonderful gift God has given to me. How different would our lives be if every day we had that thought? When I was in seminary, one of our professors, Dr. Wayne Dahoney, was my preaching professor. He was a great professor, a wonderful preacher, but a better Christian and human being. But at least once a week, he said, I want you to say with me what I say every day. He said, every day when I get out of bed and as soon as my feet hit the floor, every day, he said, before I stand up, I say, yip, 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 it's a beautiful day. Once a week at least, he would make our entire class say that. I always felt so silly. But you know what? Every time I said it, it put a smile on my face. Every time I said it, it refocused my mind. Every time I thought about that, every time I think about him, life is a gift. Every day is a day God has given to me. What a wonderful, precious thing that I should not waste. Jesus sums it up by saying, life's main business then is to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. If we do that, then everything else we want or need in life will come to us. And Jesus says, therefore, there is no need to worry. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you remind us of how much you love us and how much you care for us. And you remind us of the precious gift of life you've given to each one of us. Help us each and every day to be mindful of your love and your goodness and grace, and to live seeking your kingdom. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn of response today is hymn number 58, Like a River Glorious. If God has spoken, we invite you to come forward. Share with us what God is doing. Let's stand together as we sing our closing hymn. So glad you're here at First Pentecostal Church of Roswell today. I've never wanted to be more charismatic than I have in the last 3 minutes, I tell you. What a wonderful service. Thank you all so much. We know they're going to bless so many folks this week, and our prayers go with them as they go to serve God and represent us through this week. So thank you for leading this morning, and we're praying for you as you go this week. We're thankful. We also had a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School this last week. I want to thank Jessica and all the leaders who did such a great job. We had a wonderful time with our children, so let them know how thankful you are as you see them as well. Would you stand and join me for the benediction today? And before we leave, I pray that you have a wonderful day celebrating Father's Day and that you rejoice with family and friends in the blessings of God. Join me as we pray together. As you leave this place today, may you never be too young to respond to God's word, nor too old to ignore it. May you never be too shy to follow God's commands, nor too bold to refuse them. May you never be too busy to do God's will, nor too lazy to try. But may God take us as we are and fill us with faith and courage that every day of our lives we would seek God's kingdom. For we make this our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.